Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome once again to Mad Scientist Exposed. And I hope you had a good week and a healthy week. And I thought today it would be fun to talk about fluoride. It's a pretty hot topic, and you know, friends that I've been you know, talking to in other groups on other issues, this one comes up a lot. And there's a lot of theories out there as to why it's in the water and what it actually does to us. And it's not so clear that it was the great dentistry advance that the National Institutes of Health would like us to believe. So if you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number is 347-324-3704. 347-324-3704, and you can call and just listen at that number, or you can go to madscientist.exposed and listen there, or you can pull us up on Blog Talk Radio. There's an app for that, and there's an app for everything. So if you want to call in, you call that number, and you have your choice of listening, or if you dial one, then I'll see the little signal come up, and you can join the conversation. So, yeah, fluoride's been pretty interesting because there are several chemicals on the, elements on the element chart, and fluoride, iodine, and I think boron are very closely related on there, and the thing about adding the fluoride to the water, it does compete with your iodine intake. And there are different ways of dealing with this. The story on how fluoridation started, of course, we have the story from the National Institutes of Health that it had to do with somebody making an observation that people in high fluoride naturally occurring places had a lower cavity rate, and I think it had to do with other things besides that. But from the National Institutes of Health, and if you'd like to, I've put links to a lot of these articles on my website at madscientist.exposed. So you can either, listen now and read the articles later, or read along or whatever. Anyway, the National Institutes of Health, this is the official story, National Institutes of Dental and Craniofacial Research, this is that branch, under oral health, the story of fluoridation, and they have nice old-fashioned pictures of old-fashioned classrooms and things. It started as an observation that soon took the shape of an idea. It ended 5 decades later as a scientific revolution that shot dentistry into the forefront of preventative medicine. This is the story of how dental science discovered and ultimately proved to the world that fluoride, a mineral found in rocks and soil, prevents tooth decay. Although dental caries remains a public health worry, it is no longer the unbridled problem it once was, thanks to fluoride. A mysterious disorder. In 1909, Dr. McKay, I'm not sure what the R stands for, persuaded the Colorado State Dental Association to invite Dr. Green, Vardaman Black, one of the nation's most eminent dental researchers, to attend the 1909 convention where McKay's findings were to be presented. The two men began joint research and discovered other areas of the country where brown staining of the teeth occurred. Fluoride research had its beginnings in 1901 when a young dental school graduate named Frederick McKay left the East Coast to open a dental practice in Colorado Springs, Colorado. When he arrived, McKay was astounded to find scores of Colorado Springs natives with grotesque brown stains on their teeth. So severe could these permanent stains be, in fact, sometimes entire teeth were splotched the color of chocolate candy. McKay searched in vain for information on this bizarre disorder. He found no mention of the brown stained teeth in any of the dental literature of the day. Local residents blamed the problem on any number of strange factors, such as eating too much pork, consuming inferior milk, and drinking calcium-rich water. Thus, McKay took up the gauntlet and initiated research into the disorder himself. His first epidemiological investigations were scuttled by a lack of interest among most area dentists, but McKay persevered and ultimately interested local practitioners in the problem, which was known as Colorado Brown Stain. And it goes on and on and on. His first big break came in 1909 when renowned dental researcher Dr. G.V. Black agreed to come to Colorado Springs and collaborate. Anyway, this all boils down to the announcement that that proof that fluoride prevents caries. And I'm not sure how that relates to the brown stains. I know and I should find some links for the site too, that too much fluoride in your diet causes something called fluoridosis, and that causes brown staining. So brown and yellow staining and kind of lumpy looks to the teeth. Anyway, so this is the official history, and I've got a link to the official history on the site at the National Institute of Health. Now, there's a lot of other people who think maybe this is just a fantasy, that, these people maybe existed and maybe they believed in what they were finding and selling to the government. But all science needs to be reexamined periodically as more information becomes available. And so there's a lot of people out there who think this is not so healthy for you, that it competes with other minerals that you actually need in your body. Yeah, and the calcium was mentioned, but you need a balance between calcium and these other minerals. You actually need iodine, and the fluoride being related to iodine, it competes with it. I should put a periodic chart on the site too, so you can see their proximity. But anyway, if you would like to join the conversation, please give a call. The number is 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. And if you want to join the conversation, just hit 1. So it goes on. Now there's other articles that claim that there's more of a conspiracy going on here. And I'll pull up one of those to an overview of the war that's raging out there about fluoride. This is called the Fluoride Conspiracy, and it's at informationliberation.com. And this article is about 10 years old, but that's okay. Things still go on. So they start with a quote from Adolf Hitler himself. "Tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and people will believe it." That's a quote from Adolf Hitler, and he probably said it in German, but I can't really pronounce the German that well. Anyway, here's another quote from Robert Carlton, PhD, former EPA scientist in 1992. "Fluoridation is the greatest case of scientific fraud this century." Yeah, that was last century in the 1900s. We've got a lot more going on with the escalating vaccine fraud going on, and there's just an overwhelming number of scientific frauds going on today. And in fact, it's hilarious. On Rush Limbaugh today, he was talking about scientific fraud about climate change debate, because there's people saying, carbon in the atmosphere causes greenhouse gases and the planet warming up, and that's definitely true, I believe, on Venus. I don't think there's enough of that going on here to explain anything. I'm not convinced that the climate is actually warming up. I am seeing things like, the summers are hotter and the winters are colder, a little bit more extreme, but there's a lot of people that tie that to the sunspot cycle, and we saw that, there's a favorite channel of mine that I like to, it's not my channel, I like to watch it, called BP Earthwatch, and he has these satellite data feeds that he steps through, and he can practically predict the weather based on sunspots. He can look at the sunspots, how they're related to CERN firing up, and it actually affects our magnetosphere, and then the solar wind is not propelled, not shielded well enough from getting to the Earth, and that affects the weather. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but I don't think it's carbon dioxide, and I think the whole carbon dioxide thing is a scam to fleece you for your tax money, those carbon exchanges that the Clintons and the Obamas are so heavily invested in. So back to the fluoride conspiracy. What I started to say about Rush Limbaugh, he started going on about when science is, when you have to legislate science and stop asking questions, then it's not science anymore, it's politics. And that's like almost word for word out of the article posted on MadScientist.exposed last week about this climate change stuff, and I wrote to him and congratulated him and welcomed him to my website. Is it, you know, I can't prove that he read it. It's just, you know, this idea has come that, yes, we can trust science, but we can't necessarily trust scientists. Anyway, back to fluoride. So it says, the history of forcing fluoride on humans through the fluoridation of drinking water is wrought with lies, greed, and deception. Governments that add fluoride to drinking water supplies insist that it is safe, beneficial, and necessary. However, scientific evidence shows that fluoride is not safe to ingest in areas that fluoridate their drinking water supplies have higher rates of cavities, cancer, dental fluorosis, osteoporosis, and other health problems. Because of the push from the aluminum industry, pharmaceutical companies, and weapons manufacturers, fluoride continues to be added to water supplies all over North America, and due to recent legal actions against water companies that fluoridate drinking water supplies, precedent has been set that will make it impossible for suits to be filed against water suppliers that fluoridate. There is a growing resistance against adding toxic fluoride to our water supplies, but unfortunately, because fluoride has become quote-unquote the lifeblood of the modern industrial economy, and he quotes somebody, Bryson, 2004, there is too much money at stake for those who endorse water fluoridation. The lies of the benefits of water fluoridation will continue to be fed to the public, not to encourage health benefits to a large number of people, but to profit the military-industrial complex. So this article goes on and on, and I've heard it referred to as a chemical waste product, and they sold it as something good just to have a place to dump it into the water supply. It just carries it away oh so easily. And if there's people with nefarious intentions out there, you know, affecting people's health in order to drive maybe the osteoporosis industry, maybe the arthritis industry, things like that, whatever effects that long-term exposure to this stuff has on the human body, well, you know, mistakes are profitable. Anyway, this goes on and on. It's a very long article. I don't want to read the whole thing on the air, but I link to it on the site, and if you would like to check it out, it's The Fluoride Conspiracy by Information Liberation. And then the hazards of the top 10 ways, no, that's the top 10, the hazards of fluoride consumption, because no matter how it got there, no matter whether the reasons were well-intentioned or not, because I guess not all scientists are alike, there is a list of hazards besides cavities, and there's better ways to avoid cavities. There's diets out there that will heal cavities, rich in greens and spinaches and kales. And these are mineral-rich foods, but they're the right minerals for healing your cavities. Fluoride is not naturally part of the human body. So you want to get the right minerals for healing and preventing cavities. And I've known people to do it, heal cavities. My own daughter actually asked the dentist about a toothpaste that would do that. She had a small cavity. She didn't want to have it filled. She wanted to heal it instead. And the funny thing is, I lived my whole life not knowing you could heal cavities. And, finally, somebody online posted about healing their toddler's cavities with the right diet. And, everybody knows sugar is bad for your teeth. But I asked her how she did it, and it was this long list of green vegetables that she fed her child. And I had to stop and think, well, of course, if you can break a bone and heal your bone, then you can heal a little hole in your teeth. So it was a wonderful revelation to just think of that. It's like, well, so I've tried to incorporate more of these greens into my diet. I'm gradually increasing. I like to look up some nice vegetable recipes and things, and there's some veganism and people that I've been talking to, and it's a big world out there. And all these sciences are all interrelated. Anyway, so on Dr. Mercola is a doctor who runs a doctor of osteopathy, but he runs a large, large natural health website, and he's got all kinds of articles and categories that he writes under. And he's I believe he's friended up with Erin Elizabeth, who runs another health website called HealthNet News, and she's the one that's been tracking the mysterious deaths of many, I think there's been like 50 within the last year, of health, natural health doctors. So, you know, natural health is a threat to big industry stuff out there, because natural health puts the power in your hands, the individual's hands, whereas the people that, you know, want the power and the wealth, they're big corporations and they want you dependent on them. Anyway, so Dr. McCullough says, it's no secret that cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death worldwide. But now many people realize that fluoride, which is still added to many municipal water supplies in the U.S., is linked to heart disease. In a new study published in the journal Nuclear Medicine Communications, researchers found that fluoride may be associated with with an increased cardiovascular risk, as it causes, and he pops up this sign up ad, I'm already signed up, that causes hardening of your arteries. That's a terrible disease, hardening of your arteries. I mean, your blood flow can't distribute properly through your body, and you know, pieces of your body just start decaying. And anyway, it's a horrible thing. Anyway, reviewing the imaging data and cardiovascular history of patients who received whole-body sodium fluoride PET scans, PET scans, the researchers found a significant correlation between a history of cardiovascular events and presence of fluoride uptake in coronary arteries. While there are certainly many factors contributing to the rise in heart disease, poor diet likely being the most important, it certainly doesn't help to add a chemical to water supplies that will be consumed by everyone in the area, regardless of health status, from toddlers to seniors, that might contribute to the problem. The primary issue here is that there's a lack of evidence supporting the use of fluoride, and an awful lot of evidence stacked against the indiscriminate use of it, including these latest findings. The practice of adding fluoride to tap water began in 1945. With more than 70% of the U.S. public water supplies currently fluoridated, chances are you're one of the 170 million Americans who drink and bathe in fluoride on a daily basis. Most likely, your dentist, along with countless government and public health officials, has praised and promoted the use of fluoride both in toothpaste and drinking water as one of your must-do regimens to promote strong and healthy teeth. But let's make this point clear right from the start. Fluoride is not an essential nutrient needed for your health, dental or otherwise. There is not one single process in your body that requires fluoride. And that is like a shocking statement. Absolutely shocking. They're putting this in your body and it's not even a nutrient. I mean, if they were sending calcium down the line, and well, that builds up on pipes, and so they're not going to do that. But you know, you can get added calcium in your orange juice and all that. Anyway, he has another, it goes on, fluoride is a cumulative poison. And he's got this chart here. Here's a list of the 20 most commonly mentioned health hazards and diseases associated with fluoride exposure. It lowers your IQ because it does collect, I know it collects in the of the brain, because some of the videos I've been talking about, I've been watching, talk about that. Hyperactivity and or lethargy, increased lead absorption. I believe it also says increased aluminum absorption. I've seen that not on this chart, but I do see it in other charts. It leads to increased aluminum absorption, which that's part of that the waste of the weapons industry, the military weapons industry. Anyway, disrupts synthesis of collagen, so you age faster, brain damage, dementia, muscle disorders, arthritis, bone fractures, bone cancer, dental fluorosis, staining and pitting of the teeth, which is actually what that dentist who went out to California in 1909 or 1901, that's exactly what he was trying to solve, to come up with something that's actually causing it to and call it the cure. How many times do we see that in the medical industry? I've seen it more times than I can count. Thyroid function, I believe that's because it competes with the iodine. Disrupts immune system, inhibits formation of antibodies, genetic damage and cell death, inactivates 62 enzymes, increases tumor and cancer rate, increases aging process, reduces melatonin production, and leads to earlier onset of puberty. Holy cow! That's a shock. Damages sperm, increases infertility. So, gee, and we talk about the depopulation agenda behind the vaccine industry and how the HPV vaccine is destroying girls' ovaries, and how the DTaP, weaponized version of the DTaP vaccine in Kenya is causing miscarriages and infertility. And it's all, there's a link I saw just yesterday of a UN official just matter-of-factly stating that, yes, we need to depopulate the planet. That's part of our agenda, the UN. We need to do that. And so that's, this is bottom line of what they're trying to do to the population. You know, besides all this lowering IQ thing, I've heard that fluoride and Prozac are chemically related. And, they'll just want to be sleepy and dopey and just go along with the status quo and not question anything. Well, you just load up on the drugs and just drug the population. So I'm uncynical here. Some people love this stuff. Anyway, again, if you want to give a call, it's we have a call already, but call in and queue up. The number is 347-324-3704. And let's join our friend here. Hi.
Hello.
Is that you, Ed?
Hi.
I recognize your number. Yes. Oh, I recognize your number.
Well, you beat me to it with Mercola because I had something in mind that I remembered from long ago. And actually, I just pulled up an article. I don't think you've mentioned it. It's Harvard study finds fluoride lowers the IQ by Mercola.com. And this came out surprisingly almost exactly 4 years ago in 2012. A review of brain studies involving the use of fluoride has concluded that one of the adverse effects of fluoride exposure on children is damage to their neurological development. According to the Harvard researchers, children who live in high fluoride areas have significantly lower IQ than those in low fluoride areas. Oh my God. There have been over 23 human studies and 100 animal studies linking fluoride to brain damage. So, Suzanne,
Send me the link, please, investigator@madscientist.exposed.
I sure will.
That would be.
That was a study on August the 7th, 2012, at Mercola.com. So anybody can find it. And that's the title of it is, as I said, Harvard Study Finds Fluoride Lowers IQ. This has had 233,000 views. But, people realize this, they read it, and what the hell? Nothing is done, right, Suzanne? Nothing is done. It's just
There's some big money interests going on. I mean, I do have an extensive Google list here. I just Googled who profits from fluoridation, and it just goes on and on and on. Yeah, there's many articles on this. Yeah, there's a million and a half results, it says.
There are so many things, there's so many ways that people are profiting from injuring people, from people and their children being injured and put in harm's way and getting diseases and illnesses. Awful.
Boy,
it is
how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you profit from hurting people? That just doesn't make sense to me. Unless, you hurt them, kill them, and then you take their possessions, I guess. I don't know. You tax them to death. The death tax and all that takes half the inheritance of their children. Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's,
Also, the benefit is dubious at best. There's practically no difference in tooth decay rates between fluoridated and non-fluoridated countries. So a whole country that does not have fluoridation has almost exactly the same rate of, tooth decay as a fluoridated country. So that's kind of insane, too. There seems to be no darn benefit for it, no benefit at all. So here I am, Suzanne,
when my kids were little, we would, take them to the dentist, and the dentist would want to paint their teeth with fluoride, and sometimes my kids would allow it, sometimes they wouldn't. And so it just became not worth the fight anymore, and we didn't see any difference in the ones that let them do it and the ones that didn't, my kids were feisty, they would fight stuff, and...
Well, I'm feeling very vulnerable because let me tell you, my situation is I'm not a really well-to-do guy. I'm living in a room somewhere, and I basically cannot afford, because I don't have a car right now, I can't afford to be, or I don't even know how, to bring home gallon after gallon after gallon of pure drinking water, because that's what I would probably drink half a gallon in one day. But what I have to do is I use the tap. Suzanne, I'm drinking water from the tap.
Yeah.
and I know that's not good. And, you know, it's probably making me age faster. It's probably debilitating me in various ways. It might bring about early onset Alzheimer's. God knows what it does.
There are ways to solve it. And I've linked to, I've just stepping through the hazards of fluoride and you know, how it got into our, it's a little fuzzy because of the story is so crooked from the National Institute of Health, how they got it in. But I have a bunch of videos on how to remove it, and there are ways to remove fluoride from the water. And
is letting the water settle, does that help? If you somebody told me that you can get rid of a lot of crap from water, but
chlorine out. Yeah, that's how you, the chlorine will just evaporate out of it if you just
the chlorine will evaporate.
Let it sit,
okay.
You know, you shake it. Chlorine. Yeah, that's a different issue, and you can just let your water sit, and it will bubble out. A little outgas from the water, but fluoride won't do that. So there's a couple of different ways. I think the hardest way to do it is distilling, but that's actually the most effective way to do it, because you can get a countertop distiller, but it takes all night to distill 1 gallon of water.
Uh-oh.
That is not going to supply a family. You need a whole row of these things to do it. And
can you explain the process?
You can bring home distilled water from the grocery store. What? Sorry.
Can you explain how the distilling process works? How could someone do it at home?
Oh yeah, it works like rainwater. It boils the water, it evaporates off the water, so that all the minerals are left behind, because the only part that becomes airborne is the steam. The steam that comes off it, and then it's an enclosed system. So the steam rises off the boiling water. It goes through some coil pipes that just cool it down, and it drips into the collection container. Some of these videos I've been watching are saying it's better than rainwater, because as rainwater falls from thousands of feet up in the sky, it's also collecting all the pollutants that are up there. Well, you know, so you can drink that. It's not exactly pure. And so the best time to catch the absolutely pure water is as it comes off the surface as it evaporates, because before it's had a chance to be dirtied by anything else in the atmosphere. So that's the best way to do it. It gets everything, absolutely everything out of the water, all the other minerals too, and all the other, chemicals that who knows what the cities are putting in anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, the second way, and it's a very good way, because it gets a vast majority of all the other, all the garbage out of the water, is reverse osmosis. And what that really is just forcing water through, by pressure, a membrane. It's kind of like water filtration, but the holes are so incredibly small in the filter that you're pushing it through. I mean, they're so small, you have to push the water through it by pressure, that it catches just about everything and most everything. And there's actually a video that I've linked to here that shows the results. He compares distilled water versus tap water versus reverse osmosis water. And the bottled water, I'm glad to say, that I've been buying from the Kroger Fry's store says purified by reverse osmosis. So it gets almost everything out. So I'm not overloading my body right now with fluoride, but the filter on the refrigerator is, I think that's just a carbon filter. And so that's not a fine enough surface to push the water through to take the fluoride out. It takes a lot of other stuff out, because there's a lot of other stuff in the water, but it's not good enough to take fluoride out. So reverse osmosis will take almost all the fluoride out, and there's probably different percentages based on whatever brand you buy. There are countertop machines that'll do it. I don't know if reverse osmosis is any faster than distillation. I suppose it is, because people run their houses on it. I don't know. But they don't have distillers in their house.
Do you happen to know if, like, for example, some of the big brand names like Brita, B-R-I-T-A, uses reverse osmosis, or what are they doing?
You'd have to read their any filter or reverse osmosis brand that you read. You're going to have to read the fine print on any of it, because I don't know. I think if it's carbon water, Brita is supposed to be actually not so good. They don't make a claim that they remove fluoride or a good percentage of it. If they don't even make a claim, then they don't. That's I'm sure of. But
I did not know that.
They just
is that because
they
the particles are so
do.
Fine? Is that because the particles of fluoride are so infinitesimally fine?
Yes, it has to do with the chemical properties, too. There's ionization and non-ionized and ionized and what it binds to and all this stuff. And speaking of what it binds to, now this is kind of shocking because I didn't find this before. I kind of Googled a few months ago. I was kind of like, how to take fluoride out of water? And I just kept coming up with these really expensive methods or that you can't do it at all. And it turns out that you don't without exactly removing the fluoride from the water, you can chemically neutralize it. And that's with something as simple as borax. Yeah, so I've got if you want to go to the website, I've got the embedded videos there that I came across on YouTube. And, you know, if you take about a half gallon to 2 liters of water and you put in an eighth of a teaspoon of borax, that's enough to neutralize the fluoride. So it still all passes through your body but doesn't have the effects of chasing down, because I think the fluoride and the borax, it doesn't try to replace the iodine that the fluoride does. There's bromine in bread and there's fluoride in water. Yeah, they used to, they started iodizing the salt back in, the 30s or something, because they had, there were so many people had a goiter problem. A goiter is like an enlarged thyroid on your neck, and I had a relative that had that when I was very young, back in the 60s or 70s. She had this big, on her neck. It just is like a bullfrog effect on your neck, and it was a goiter. And we all knew it was a goiter. We never thought anything about it. It was just, that's who that relative was. Well, she finally had it surgically repaired and didn't have that anymore. But I think it was back in the 30s they started adding iodine. They didn't add it to the water, but they added it to the salt. And so almost all the salt you buy has iodine in it. But you can choose on your grocery store shelf whether you're going to buy salt with iodine or salt without iodine. And, iodine is a really good thing for you. That is a necessary nutrient. And, it helps keep your thyroid healthy. And there's other organs that need it too. Like if you're iodine deficient, if you're a woman, your breasts will compete with your thyroid for whatever iodine your body manages to eat. But now if you have fluoride will compete. It will like answer the call that your body's calling for iodine. The fluoride will move in and, settle in where the iodine's supposed to be and actually block the absorption of iodine. They used to iodize bread too. I was shocked to find this out about a year ago. They were iodizing bread. They started iodizing bread, commercially produced bread, at about the same time they started iodizing the salt. And they decided in the 80s that, for questionable reasons, to stop requiring the iodizing of bread. And so. Around that time, a lot of people started getting real obese and having thyroid problems, blah, 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 because they're not getting enough iodine. I mean, yes, it's in the salt, but unless they're making their own bread, it's not necessarily in the bread. And bread is such an entrenched part of the American diet.
Suzanne, you were mentioning iodized salt being better than regular salt. Well, how would sea salt fit into that? Because I kind of like those little rock crystals of sea salt.
Gotta read the label. I do too. They're very tasty. The sea salt is very tasty, the larger crystals and stuff. And you have to read some of it. If it's really coming from the sea, there's a lot of iodine floating around in seaweed in the sea. And I don't know. But for every different brand of sea salt out there, you probably have to read whether they're adding iodine to it or whether it naturally has iodine. And I was experimenting. I had a health issue that I kind of traced down that I thought what might have been an iodine low. And so what I did is started eating seaweed to try to, just displace all this bromide or whatever that my body had absorbed through the years. And I started eating seaweed for the iodine in it to see if that helped. And it did start helping that particular health problem, but it made me really sick. I guess I was eating too much of it. I got a lot of nausea and hot flashes that shouldn't have had. And all of a sudden I would just be burning up and then stop. And, I was past that point in life that I should have been having that stuff. Anyway, but the nausea, I just couldn't deal with, and I stopped.
Was this before or after Fukushima?
What year was Fukushima?
2011?
It was after. Well, I don't know.
I don't know. I think maybe the seaweed.
I need to
came
buy a
guy
here
somewhere with
nice.
A specific name. I don't know. That could be it right there.
I don't know. I need
get
to
some
blank. Anyway, I went to my naturopathic doctor. She was really glad that I wasn't taking direct iodine supplements. And I know there's some really great websites out there that just promote their iodine supplements and how great it is and how iodine protects you from nuclear radiation. And I know the Alex Jones website sells it and stuff.
Really?
But she says, no, don't take straight iodine because she's had patients that did that, trying to, solve their own health problems. And if you overdo it, one of her patients was not able to sleep, literally, for 6 months. Absolutely, she could not sleep.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, my gosh, I can sleep. I just feel like garbage,
I didn't even know that's even survivable.
It took me a month, at least a month, to get that out of my body. What that had done to me.
Wow.
So I don't, I was taking too much. I was eating, it was the sushi sheets, and I was eating like two a day, which is way too much. I think, one or two a week at the max, and I don't even look for it anymore, it's very rare. So that particular, the health issue I was dealing with was much less bothersome than those other symptoms that I got from eating the seaweed. So I'm still living with it.
What kind of seaweed was it, and what form? There's many different types of
nori.
Seaweed.
It was nori. It was the nori, the stuff they flatten out to make sushi. I was just buying sheets of sushi. I ended up giving it to my kids. Yeah. They like it. They make sushi, whatever they do with it. I don't know.
Nori.
I don't think it's spelled the same. Yeah. I don't think it's spelled the same.
No.
But
it
actually was very tasty, cut up into chicken soup.
N O U R E Y or something. Sorry.
I don't know, but now I put spinach and stuff in my chicken soup. I like the way it kind of wilts and floats around
spinach.
And stuff like that. And there's lots of minerals in spinach. I like spinach, but I like spinach a lot. So there's all different ways. So you can stir fry it, put it in your omelet, and all that. Anyway, I have these videos of this little girl. She's saying she's how to remove fluoride from your water, and she does this little thing. She's got her pitcher of filtered water. She's filtered out a whole bunch of other stuff, and he just puts in an eighth of a teaspoon into her pitcher of water and stirs it up and drinks it. And this little girl, she posted it years ago, and people are still commenting on it, and she's still answering years later, and she's still drinking this borax water that is neutralized the fluoride, and she's still healthy. So I guess it won't hurt you if you do it in small quantities. And, then I found this older lady who also talks about it. And then I found this other guy that does it in a much higher concentration. And he does it intentionally to leach fluoride out of his body. And I find that very scary. That's almost kind of like related to what I did with the seaweed. Just knock myself stupid trying to leach bad stuff out of my body to replace with correct iodine. Yeah. And this is all self-experimentation. Self-experimentation is legal. Yeah. I found that out by reading all the stuff about Royal Rife for electronic medicine and the Holda Clark Zapper.
Yeah.
All of this stuff is wonderful stuff, but it's all under self-experimentation. Nobody can prescribe it for anybody. There is more and more research coming out about electronic medicine, but never mentioning Royal Rife. They will never give him the credit that he was, what is it now? He was 80 years ahead of his time. But now there's more and more electronic research coming out. Anyway, so I've got these links on there on removing or deactivating the fluoride in your water because it's not just, the thing about lowering the IQ, it is chemically related to Prozac. It's like, it could, maybe it's deactivated by the form of the Prozac. I don't know, but why do we need this stuff? If somebody actually needs fluoride, let them get a prescription. I don't want it in my water because somebody else has a prescription. That's like, it's like the whole fraud of the herd immunity thing with the vaccine, that you take a vaccine to stop somebody else from getting sick. That doesn't work. As was like, hey, you know, handing an armored knight a shield in order to protect the, you know, the other guy across the field. It's just not, it's not logically there.
Suzanne?
Yeah. So you know,
Suzanne, do you,
yes.
Do you happen to know if fluoride collects in the body, and therefore if there's some way to flush it out? Sounds like that what that guy was trying to do. You said he was trying to get rid of fluoride in his body.
He does it.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah,
or just
he
in the water?
Really healthy. It'd be scary. You know, you want to have whatever, however it's binding to your body, you want to find the right nutrient that goes there. And I really hesitate to tell anybody to take iodine, you know, because of what it did to me. Now, maybe there's a much slower way to do it. Maybe I just try to do it too fast. And there's this thing called the Herxheimer reaction. When you're actually solving something with your body, or you know, maybe you kill all the germs at once or whatever's ailing you with a zap or whatever, you're going to feel worse before you feel better. And maybe had I toughed it out, I might have eventually done all right. But I was too scared by it. I was just too scared. So, you know, everybody has their own tolerance level for what they're going to experiment with. And, I know you like your herbs and stuff, so you have some, you have a higher level of bravery than I do.
Well, it says in the Bible something that there's healing herbs, you know, for everything. There's something, I don't remember the exact quote, but it is said that herbs are...
there's a Bible search engine online. We can find it.
We could find it.
You know, nature and humanity, perfect at the start.
But let me get this straight. So you're saying that that fluoride can be countered, or with enough iodine? I mean,
Or borax, with
salt,
borax,
et cetera. Borax.
No, but
haven't
seen anybody here do a video on adding iodine to your water to replace the fluoride. I haven't seen any of those. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't search on the right search term. That might be something worth searching on. You know what? I'm a little bit late for a commercial break an announcement break. I think we have a couple of commercials. Anyway, so let me take a break and we'll come back.
Sure.
And see you in a
minute. Okay.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's SerenityRug.com.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year. They're trying to keep it under the radar. The best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
So we're back. That TPP thing is in the news. You know, they're gonna try to push it totally during the lame duck session. And Paul Ryan was quoted at a recent Koch brothers event saying how, you know, we need the TPP and Donald Trump is all wrong and all this. And boy, he's being primaried, and I sure hope that works out that we don't have to deal with Paul Ryan anymore. Anyway, so are you still there?
Hi. Yes, I had to take a call, but I'm still here. You know what I wanted to say is still from that Merkola.com that I was looking at. Still from that one, I see. They were, one study was looking at children's intelligence in two separate towns. One town had fluoridated water, and one did not have fluoridated water, and said that in the city that did not have fluoridated water, 28% of the children scored as, quote, bright, normal, or higher intelligence, unquote, compared, that's 28%, compared to only 8% in the high fluoride area. Can you imagine that? From 28% of children being bright, normal, or higher intelligence, down to 8%, from 28%. So we're breeding a nation, or we're causing a nation of idiots, you know? And I wonder if this could be worse over the generations. In other words, the people that started taking fluoride in 1945, they went on and had children, and those children are also taking fluoride, and now their children are taking fluoride. It might be like a kind of a brain drain, don't you suppose?
I don't know if it's between the generations, or if you start off at your own. The longer you take it, the worse off you are.
One thing's for sure is that the average IQ of the pool itself must be getting a little bit less from the fluoride. All those areas that are using fluoride.
They're redefining exactly where the average IQ is. I mean, they always said 100 is the average IQ, so half the population is above that and half the population is below. But if they move that mark by changing the test, how would we know? How would we know? Oh. We would have to be, look at the tests they've been giving over the years. So they can just pretend the bell curve isn't moving down south. It's just, it's just unbelievable.
Here's another one. This is the final one I have for you. It says still in that study of the two cities, 15% of children in the high fluoride city, 15%, had signs of mental retardation, compared to only 6% in the low fluoride city. So not only does it completely skew, the bright and normal
everybody down 10 points,
but increases the mental retardation, obviously increases it. I'm just disgusted. I want to never drink fluoride water again, fluoridated water again.
Well, there are countertop osmosis systems. I saw them. I saw them, as I was doing my searches, the ads come up. Reverse osmosis. Countertop reverse osmosis. And they can be had for as low as about $80. And top system filter pack and all that, the filter pack. And they range up to about $200 for countertop.
I think we all need to think about something. Those little plastic bottles you're talking about, it's great that they get rid of fluoride, but then they all have trace amounts of the soft plastics, the plastic.
Yeah, the soft
plastics.
No, we can't win for losing, particularly if you leave them in the hot car. I mean, I tend to drive around with a water bottle. I mean, I live in the Phoenix area, and if I get out of the car and I go shopping and I get back in the car, my water's hot. I don't know about other people, but I tend to drink whatever temperature I've got, my ice maker's broken, so I just drink room temperature anyway. But, you know, if I'm super thirsty driving around in Phoenix, you know, you have to weigh being dehydrated versus exposure to the plastics. And being dehydrated, you can have an accident. Mm-hmm. It can affect your thinking, too. So,
you know,
there's countertop.
It's crazy.
There's countertop, reverse osmosis, and I don't know how fast reverse osmosis works. And there's countertop distillers, which take about 8 hours overnight to get you one gallon of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can buy distilled water, or you can just leave it running all the time. But when I used to run one, the noise got annoying. It had this little motor, and it would just mm-hmm. run all the time because I couldn't make enough distilled water for all of us to drink. So it just was running all the time. So if I had like five of them lined up in the garage where nobody's going to listen to them,
wow.
I ran them. That's what I should do.
Wow. Here's something, Suzanne.
One thing I might do is just put borax in my cooking water so I don't have to use that much water. Just put it in the, yes.
Oh, yeah. How about this? For a future show, why don't you look into plastics and how safe it is for us to be eating food or drinking liquids, you know, that come from plastic? I think that there'll be some shocking revelations there, you know. I believe so.
Yeah.
And then you know what?
I'm gonna have to go soon.
So let me lay something else on you. Wait, let me lay something else on
okay.
you. China. Here's still quoting Dr. Merkula. Even China does not allow water fluoridation because it's too toxic and causes damage, according to their studies. Instead, the waste product from their phosphate fertilizer industry is shipped to the United States, where we add it to our water supply. So China sends us the waste products from their phosphate.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Wow.
This is a very important
point.
The fluoride added to your water.
And
the fluoride added to your water is not even pharmaceutical grade. It's a toxic industrial waste product, which is also contaminated with lead, arsenic,
what does pharmaceutical
radionucleotides.
Grade mean? I don't think it means anything.
Oh, aluminum
here, I found
and other
article.
Industrial contaminants. Yeah, the story gets even more convoluted as now declassified files of the Manhattan Project and the Atomic Energy Commission show that the original motivation for promoting fluoride and water fluoridation in the United States was to protect the bomb, aluminum, and other fluoride polluting industries from liability. That's and somehow Alcoa is involved in this. Oh my goodness.
But, yeah, a friend of mine just put through on Facebook, she sent through an article, and I should have saved it. It reminded me, it was just a meme, but explaining how a fluoride increases your ability to absorb aluminum, and aluminum tends to accumulate in the brain, and it's related to Alzheimer's. Whoa.
Oh, great. You mean it absorbs it? You mean it collects it? It actually helps aluminum collect in the brain?
Yeah, fluoride in your body makes your body absorb aluminum.
Aluminum
collects in your brain and is linked to Alzheimer's. You know, so this is very nefarious. That they, you know, who is doing the studies? I mean, why? Where is the National Institute of Health supposed to be?
These studies were all
done
prior to 2012.
Based on,
these Merkel is quoting all these studies which were done before 2012, and obviously nobody's paying much attention to them. I'll leave you with this thought. Here's a subhead. The fluoride in your drinking water is an industrial waste product. The fluoride in your drinking water is an industrial waste product.
Disgusting. And what industry is it a waste problem for?
Well, they're just saying that the phosphate fertilizer industry, for example, that's what it's coming from China. It's saying the waste product from China's phosphate fertilizer industry, where we add it to our water supply. So they're poisoning us. Or maybe it's we're poisoning ourselves. Somebody who doesn't care that people are getting dumber and dumber and less healthy.
Maybe they do care and they want it that way.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It's a vast conspiracy, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah,
oh my goodness!
I don't think there's a problem.
God bless you for the work you're doing. And
it's like I touched on all these. I only barely scratched the surface on all these different weaponized sciences. You know, and it's very upsetting. You know, I go into depressions about the more I read, the more horrified I am. And it's like, I can't shut up. Yeah. I can't shut up. I have to tell people.
How do you sleep at night?
Terribly depressing.
Right? How do you sleep at night thinking about all this stuff, right?
Well, I couldn't sleep or live with myself if I didn't shout from the rooftops like that. Believe me, church. I have to connect to God. You know, He tells us He's in control, and so He's going to sort it out. He's going to sort out these evildoers from the the blessed are the meek and all that. He's going to sort out. What? I'm sorry.
No, there was a little noise on the line. I don't know what that was. I didn't say anything, but I was just thinking, you have your religion, but there are some of the officials of some of the biggest churches in the world that you really got to worry about where they're coming from, you know? Like,
I can't tell you how I'm so disappointed in the Pope. He buys into the equivalency of religions that, we can't talk about the radical Islamists who are committing violence, because, you know, some Catholics commit violence too. Some Christians, you know, they have random murders. It's like, yes, that's the point of religion is to help us identify what's evil and what's not. And people are going to fail. But people aren't committing, the Catholics and Christians, they're not committing murders in the name of their religion. You know, and these, and this small, obscure, radicalized sect of Islam is doing it in the name of their interpretation of their religion. And they kill more Muslims than they even kill non-Muslims, because that's where they live. And, you're not Muslim enough, we're going to kill you. And that's what they do. You know, so it's kind of like the Westboro Baptist Church. I would not call them Christian. You know, wave the Bible around and they have their interpretation of it. You know, but the Pope is the big kahuna. And he's like, we have to be equivalent now. You know, well, some Catholics might kill somebody, you know, so then we can't say that Catholicism is better than radical jihad terrorism. And he's such a wimp.
That's bizarre. That's bizarre.
He lived inside his own walls. He's got those giant walls around the Vatican. And he denounces Donald Trump because he wants to build a wall here. You know, it's like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And I'm a Catholic, and something's wrong, you know.
you poor thing.
It's like, God is in control. Jesus promised He's in control. God's in control. And I just have to wait it out, you know.
I don't know my religious history very well, but has there ever been a case of a religion, of any specific religion, that got so corrupt and was, you know, accused of doing all kinds of evil things and corrupting the youth and pedophilia and stuff like that, that was basically abandoned by its believers and actually just disappeared from the scene? I wonder, have religions ever disappeared because of some of the evil that they've done?
I don't think anybody ever really believes the Roman gods anymore. They're just stories. Kind of like Grimm's fairy tales or something. You wouldn't know from watching the original Ghostbusters. They had these ancient gods that came to life, and I don't know. So it's like, how to deal with it all?
Wasn't the god named Zog or something like that, or some weird name like that? It wasn't really an ancient god at all. They made it up for Ghostbusters, along with the Pillsbury Doughboy or whatever the Stay Puffed thing was.
Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, yeah.
Stay Puffed Marshmallow
that
Man.
Was funny.
Didn't they make that? They made that up for the movie, right? There was no such thing.
Right, yeah, I think so. I think maybe somebody released it and made a product after the movie. I don't know. But I haven't seen the new movie. I heard he does a lot of man bashing. And you know, I have sons, I have relatives, I have friends, and I'm not going to go around man-bashing, because that's half the population. I just can't do that. But anyway, that was the review on that movie. Oh, and that actress, what was her name? Jennifer something. So one of the lead actresses in that, she got into a real fight with Milo Yiannopoulos. I guess he made a bad review of the movie. He didn't like it. And mainly, I think, because of all the man-bashing. And they got into a fight on Twitter. And he was like, he was just laughing and making jokes. She got real upset. And she says, this guy, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, she goes, get him. And, you know, asking her followers to chase him down and badmouth him. So Twitter comes along and bans him. You can't incite people to chase other people. And in fact, he was the one being chased.
How often?
Yeah, you can all read up about him. Breitbart.
She still has her account, huh? Was Milo's account?
And she committed the crime. They banned him. And he didn't do it. She did it. And they banned the wrong person. So
terrible.
So I don't know. Maybe I should post some outrageous fluoride stuff and some outrageous vaccine stuff and all this. And boy, if I could be outrageous enough, maybe I could get banned too. And
if you got banned, that would be great publicity,
what?
Right? That would be great publicity. And also you would expose the subject to, the atmosphere, to people hearing about it, knowing more about it. Nobody talks about fluoride. They just suck it up.
I wonder if Alex Jones ever did. I wonder. I'm going to see if Alex Jones ever did, because I think Donald Trump follows some of the stuff that InfoWars prints.
Yeah.
And I know he's a vaccine skeptic. Fluoride, poison on top cap documentary. I can go buy a documentary. November 20. Oh, that's even less than a year old. The fluoride detection, what's in your tap water? Alex Jones. Okay, that's 2 years old.
I got another one. So why are we still drinking fluoride again? Alex Jones, InfoWars. That was March 13, 2013. We know that I'm imitating Alex Jones. We know that a major head of the National Cancer Institute revealed decades ago that fluoride was ... So decades ago they knew this, and yet nothing's been done. 5 facts about fluoride you urgently need to know. Alex Jones, InfoWars.
Oh,
yeah, he has done it. He's been on top of this,
he's published as recently as April on this. I think right now he's immersed in the election. So if he's published it, I'm pretty sure Trump has read it. I mean, he's been interviewed on InfoWars, so he must be familiar with their platform and what they talk about. I don't think he's been interviewed since last December, but, he's open to attracting an audience anywhere, Trump is. So he'll go after Alex Jones listeners, as well as anybody else's listeners. But he's been on a lot of other shows that I can't stand watching, CNN stuff. And, some of these...
Guess what?
Some of these commentators I really don't like, yeah?
Hey, guess what? As recently as April 26, 2016, Alex Jones had on InfoWars, The Fluoride Wars, Loving Cancer and Loving Lower IQ.
IQ. I see that.
And it was about Jennifer Luke has shown that fluoride accumulates in the pineal gland and inhibits its production of ... So I have to see more.
And the pineal gland, that's kind of like where you have your religious sensitivity, isn't it? The pineal gland, isn't that where you have your ESP and your spiritual connection?
Supposedly so, yes.
They could just crop that over with all these chemicals so that you can't tell good from evil. And we can get you to do this to your kids.
Here's a YouTube video, Alex Jones, Sodium Fluoride and the Forced Drugging of America. It's a 9-minute video from 2010.
I need to find this stuff before going on air. I've been following, the most close issue I've been following is the vaccine issue and the election, because I know Trump is a vaccine skeptic. But, I haven't been following this. I know there's people screaming about it on Facebook, and it's just more than I can absorb. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe I need to start absorbing it. And so, I started pulling up articles for the show today. And, we all got to start somewhere. And, oh, my gosh. Yeah,
probably,
so there's an agenda out, dumb you down. Yeah. And if they can dumb you down, you'll vaccinate, and maybe your child will live through it, maybe you won't. There's a certain percentage that, if that actually dies SIDS, and I meet a lot of people on Facebook whose children have died of SIDS shortly after a vaccine. It's a lot. And, I don't know, 5 to 20%, I think, of the population. It's incredible. you know, and they, yeah. they can't make them die fast enough. So now they're vaccinating pregnant women. So I'm digressing off to another weaponized science. But, you know, the fluoride, if they can make you dumb,
okay.
Maybe you won't be able to have your own family. You know, if they can't kill you, they'll cripple you. And this is probably how they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. if fluoride is causing hardening of the arteries, you're going to die younger. You know,
yeah.
and not eat up the Social Security system. Maybe if you die younger, then you don't get to retire as long. And my dad had very brittle, and we had no connect. We didn't know about fluoride and stuff in those days. Very brittle circulation system, and peripheral. What they call it? Peripheral vascular disease is what they called it. And there's a lot of horrors out there that long term exposure to this stuff. You know, it's like the frog boiling. The frog in the pot, you know, you're sick, but you don't know how sick you are until it's so awful that somebody just walks in on the situation. It's like, oh, my gosh, it's like the frog in the pot. It doesn't jump out until it's too late. You know,
and
people die these slow deaths, and they don't know what they're dying of.
Yeah. Next thing they know, they're clogs with in a French restaurant. Yeah. Terrible.
Huh?
Well, maybe it's sort of like, maybe part of the principle is, what happened a few years ago, well, maybe it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when the guy from the big tobacco company, I'm not sure if it was which tobacco company it was, got before Congress and made a strong argument for smoking, made a very strong argument in favor of smoking because, you know, the reduced lifespan meant that those people would not be in the healthcare system nearly as long and would not chew
up valuable
resources.
Oh,
sure. Yeah, that was famous.
Disgusting.
That was a famous thing. Yeah, I don't know how to find it now, and I don't know if it was, you know, which tobacco company it was, but it was one of the largest.
All right, I know. You know, I've seen people use, they call it tobacco science now. People will use it. Mm-hmm. They'll quote it for the vaccine industry, where you have people getting up and claiming that smoking does no harm, and at one point. The tobacco industry was claiming it reduces stress, and you know, my dad could smoke when I was really, really little before my dad quit. You know, smoking is known to, you know, relax you, and so they were promoting that as a health. Smoking relaxes you, well, and relaxes you while killing you. So, you know, so they call it tobacco science now, and you know, where you just say something totally ridiculous in order to promote it when it's actually doing a lot of harm. So, yeah, I think we could probably call it fluoride science and vaccine science. And it's the weaponized science. It's when you have to legislate and legally force it and not allow any questions, then it's not science anymore. It's politics. And that's I said it last week, and Rush Limbaugh said it today. So, I mean, I can't prove he read my site. But I wrote and congratulated him anyway.
You know, I'm Suzanne. Suzanne, I'm a few years older than you, you know, but I remember from my childhood, I remember this would have been the late 50s through maybe the mid 50s, late 50s, early 60s, whatever. I still remember jingles like Lucky's LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, or Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Yeah,
Winston
I remember that one was that one was so jarring because it was bad English. The correct English is, it tastes good as a cigarette should. And they put the word like in there to make it bad English in order to jar people into remembering it. And it kind of stuck. English has gotten a little bit warped like that since then. So,
how about I'd walk a mile for a camel? I'd walk a mile for a camel. Of course, the symbol is a camel with the pyramids in the back and stuff like that, you know. But really, those were a huge amount of advertising. As a matter of fact, I would say the cigarette industry, the tobacco industry, had as much advertising on TV then as the pharmaceuticals have now, with all their crazy ads
and
all the warnings.
They banned cigarette ads from TV. They banned them from TV. And that's what was, you know, I was shocked when they allowed pharmaceutical ads on TV, you know, because you're supposedly advertising to the population these drugs, but only the doctors are certified to understand what the drugs do and to write you a prescription. So if you go in there asking a doctor for a prescription, you know, it was an affront to the doctor. And so why were they doing this? And I figured it out now. After all these years, I figured it out. It's not about selling you the product at all, because they are required by law. If they're going to be on TV, mm-hmm. they got to tell you all the side effects, and they will run their mouths so fast. Well, they digitally speed it up, and they're blah 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 blah. These side effects, but sometimes they don't speed it up. Sometimes they tell the side effects with such relish, and like you want this horrible thing to happen to you. And I've been shocked.
Like it's
and, number one, they're betting on people muting their TVs. So they're just looking at the pretty pictures, and they're not hearing these side effects. And the other thing is, it's in your face. It's in your face. We control the dialogue by advertising on this cable news channel. And so we're the big fat pharmaceutical, and we're going to advertise 70% of your advertising time is pharmaceuticals, and they wouldn't dare cover a story saying anything bad about any pharmaceutical or vaccine mm-hmm. product, because we'll pull our advertising.
Oh, sure.
And this is in your face, mm-hmm. you know, and
mm-hmm.
it, that's what's going on. It's not about selling you drugs at all. It's about controlling the conversation. And
well,
we only have a few minutes left. I need to take – yes, I'm sorry?
I was going
to say something, but
about 15 different things. 15 different things that are bad side effects, bad things that can happen: heart disease, cancer, whatever. And they'll say, ask your physician. You know, ask your physician for more information.
Yeah. Now we don't see fluoride commercials because we don't have to, because they're just feeding it to us
implicit.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, we only have a few minutes left, and I do need to take one more commercial break, and then we'll be back for the last bit.
This month's Prepper Moment on Critical Preparedness Radio is on wilderness. The question is, if you get lost in the wilderness, what would be the three best survival tips or skills you'd be glad to know? Tip number one, gear. Have a day bag anytime you may be traveling in unknown territory. This should include food, water, dry clothes, and basic bug-out tools. A good knife, a small water filter, protein bars, and other storable camping tools, such as an axe, a pocket saw, paracord, a good compass, a weapon if you're really new to being lost and you have the knowledge how to use it, a cell phone with a crank charger, a small weather radio, a topo map of your part of the state that you're traveling through, plenty of fire starting tools, including flint and steel, a big lighter or whatever tool you need that you know how to use well, and experience and practice in making sure you can start a fire. You'll also need a first aid kit, a week's worth of your prescription medications, and something to get you out of the weather, whether it's a tube tent, an emergency blanket, a camp tent, a tarp, or something similar, because hypothermia does kill. Know and practice how to use it all in the comfort of your own home before you ever have to depend on it. The second skill and survival tip is attitude. Whatever leaves you stranded in an unknown or new to you area, the first thing to do when you realize you're lost is to stop, sit down, and breathe. Drink some water, grab a handful of whatever protein food you have, and take measure of how you got where you are. Rethink your steps and the path that got you to this point. Believe totally that you're brave, focused, smart, and a problem solver. You build this into your life by actually doing things. Not reading about things or talking about them, but actually doing things yourself. From simple food preparation to home and car repairs to creating interesting things from scratch. These skills will open your mind to what is possible with what you have. If you have no idea of your exact location, think bigger. Know where north and south is. Know where streams, rivers, roads, and rails could be. Any of these can lead you to help. If you can, get yourself a spot receiver. With Spot, you can communicate with family, friends, work, or emergency services from virtually anywhere in the world. Whether you're sending for help, tracking and protecting your valuable possessions, or simply letting your friends and family know you're okay, you'll never be limited by cellular reach again, whether you choose to get lost or need to be found. The third survival tip and skills is using your guts.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. take us on a walk with the dog, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hi, so we're back, and it looks like we dropped the caller dropped this call. So, but he had a lot of good points. Dr. McCullough's website has a lot of good information on it, and I'll have to put more links on the page right now. And I know that last little blurb mentioned the chat room on freedomizerradio.com, and it had been down, so it's now I see it's up again. So if you had intended to chat with me and I didn't notice it was up, I apologize. It looks like, not too many people have been here. What does it do? It signed me up. Well, I'm not logged into it. Anyway, I do have the articles. I see some of the other show hosts. I'll put the articles that they're discussing on the chat room, and I should be more adroit at that. I did post a lot of the articles that we've been talking about on madscientists.exposed. That's my own site, and by the graciousness of Freedomizer Radio, I get to talk to you lovely people. So the bottom line is, if there's fluoride in your diet, there are ways to take it out of your diet. It's not good for you. It hasn't been proven to be healthy for you at all. Because your teeth need calcium, your bones need calcium, they don't need fluoride, and your other organs need iodine, they don't need fluoride, and other minerals that are necessary and vitamins. So removing the fluoride from your water, you can chemically neutralize it with borax, which is kind of amazing, where the fluoride and the other contaminants in your water don't actually leave the water, but it's chemically neutralized so that it doesn't have the bad effect that Dr. McCullough's website talks about. And I don't know if I would do that in large quantity, but I'm a little more skittish and scared about trying some of this stuff than my friend Ed is. But I would probably do that for cooking water from now on. I did buy some borax recently because of what I've been reading and viewing on these sites. And maybe I'll try drinking it straight. This little girl, obviously, she's lived several years drinking it straight. But I'll probably just start with cooking water, when I make my soups and crock pots and various recipes that call for water. And that way I won't be doubling up the amount in my system. Because one way I did read, can you boil fluoride out of the water like you can chlorine? And no, it actually, as the water boils off, you're actually concentrating the fluoride. It doesn't leave the water. It just has less water to float around in, and so you're concentrating it. And I don't want that in my recipes anymore, any more of that. So you can buy distilled water from the grocery store, because distillation, if you have a little countertop distiller, it takes a really long time, and mine was loud. I don't know about all brands, but mine was pretty loud. It just, so I hesitate, and it's very slow, so I would hesitate to recommend distillation, although it works. You'd probably have to buy a whole row of them to keep your family supplied in distilled water. Or you could just buy and carry home distilled water bottles. They come in like gallon jugs, just like you carry home, if you do, these water bottles. From these drinking bottles, and it's like, oh, what have we come to, a third world country, Now we have to carry home our water like we lived on a stream somewhere. And that's the feeling that I got after multiple trips to the store, bringing home distilled water when I decided I really didn't like the taste of the city water. I've taken to using a wheelbarrow. I have this nice narrow wheelbarrow that goes through a door for bringing in the super heavy stuff of my groceries, rather than lugging water, because then I start feeling like a pack mule if I'm just lugging water. So there's the distilled water, there's the chemical neutralization of fluoride, and then there's reverse osmosis. And some people, they'll put big systems on their houses, they'll put them under the sinks in their kitchens, and there's also countertop reverse osmosis, and I guess that's by the jug too, like the distillers are. And see, maybe one under the counter might be something good, because I don't know, I have this, my dishes keep getting this powdery buildup, and I don't know if it's calcium or what it is. It's just very hard to get off. And maybe if I throw some borax in the dishwasher, it'll work. Or maybe if I install a little reverse osmosis thing. Maybe that'll work. I'm just so tired of throwing out dishes that just I can't get this film off it. And I know that goes back to a few years ago. They used to put phosphates in the dish detergent in the dishwasher soap to, you know, get to your dishes. And then a couple of states outlawed it. And so they, rather than have two different production lines, all the states got denied their dishwasher detergent with phosphates in it. And so now we all have dishwashers that don't work. So it's kind of a sad thing. Anyway, I don't know if that's related to the fluoride in the water and how it relates to calcium and how it relates to iodine and how it relates to bromide. I did take chemistry in high school, but I didn't take it in college, and so I'm not really up on this thing. Nobody was questioning fluoride in those days. That's how old I am. Yep. So anyway, if you can remove fluoride from your diet, I see no harm in removing fluoride from your diet, because it's certainly not a nutrient. I would hesitate to say start replacing iodine at a faster rate than you would normally absorb through your natural foods all the time, because I made myself pretty sick doing that. So I don't recommend that to anybody. I know there's a lot of really good sites out there. Alex Jones swears by it. He feels so good with his different supplements, and I think his iodine supplement is related to his liver flush, and he's got this brain force stuff, and it's I don't have the nerve for all that. I have to take it a bit slower, and he's younger than me, so I guess he's braver. I don't know. Anyway, so fluoride is a bigger story than I ever thought, you know, getting into this, thinking I could just look up some articles and understand it and discuss it, and it's a big deal. And so I do have a lot of articles now on the site, and you can check them out. You know, all the bad reputation that Google has, well deserved. It is still a search engine that works, and we'll find you these things. When they start censoring everything, then we're in trouble. But I think there's just too much for them to actually censor. So anyway, have a wonderful week, and thank you for joining me this week on Mad Scientist.Exposed, and come back next week.